My daughter told me that I needed to take this for my sermon today, so here it is. I'll be preaching this morning out of John 16, 12 to 15. If you guys want to turn there, you're welcome to do that. I thought it fitting that on Father's Day and on Trinity Sunday, and also our last Sunday here, that I could share a few stories about fathers, but also other stories as well. When my grandpa Don passed away a number of years ago, my dad's dad, I asked my dad, my father, what we could do to grieve, and he said that we could share stories. Jesus promises in the text something more than stories. When he goes to be with the Father, he says that the Spirit will come, the Spirit of truth. And this Spirit of truth is trustworthy, glorifies Jesus by declaring our inheritance in him. My first encounter with the Lord holding me in a way that was beyond just stories came when my grandmother, his wife, had faced cancer for the second time. She beat it the first time. My aunts and uncles were singing hymns around her hospice bed, and I was in about second grade, and I was in a sleeping bag upstairs, and I was listening, and I was praying so hard, because I didn't really know her, that she would survive, that I would be able to know her for longer than I did. And as I prayed, I was wrestling a lot, and I was just really pressing into that. And I felt this, I don't know where it came from, because I was only in second grade, but this maybe I had heard somebody pray the Lord's Prayer or something in church about not my will, but your will be done. And I let that go. And as I did that, it was so profound. And this is a story, right? I'm not telling you something that maybe you have experienced, maybe you have. But as I let that go, I felt this wave of warmth wash over me. And I felt like these arms around me, which is, I was already wrapped up in a sleeping bag. it was this experience that was this comfort that was such a mystery. And the text that we're looking at talks about mystery and the Spirit of truth speaking into the mystery that somehow in the midst of suffering or in the midst of grief, even there is blessing. This sermon is called The Revealer of Mysteries, so we will be talking about four ways we know the Spirit of Truth reveals the mystery of who Jesus is to us, his disciples. The first way the Spirit of Truth reveals the mystery of who Jesus is to us, his disciples, is by guiding us after Jesus is not bodily here with us. Jesus says in John 12, 24, that unless a seed dies, it remains alone. And unless I had, if I had not given up Christmas, I'm talking about when I went to China the first time to go study for a year, I would have missed, if I hadn't given that up, sacrificed that, let that seed die, I would have missed my Bangladeshi friend asking me if I was lonely for home at Christmas in the same way that he was on Eid, which had been in November. I told him I felt like, in kind of a mysterious way, I felt like I was experiencing Jesus' birth by being incarnate in a different culture. I know that's maybe a little theological for some of us, but I felt like I was this, I was in this this place where I was in a place of vulnerability like Jesus had been. And it caused him to want to be in relationship with me. When we listen to the Spirit of Truth, we will know in word and action our calling. Maybe to fast and pray during Ramadan so that Muslims might encounter Jesus, or as they say, his name Isa in us. The first way the Spirit of Truth reveals the mystery of who Jesus is to us, his disciples, is by guiding us, sometimes to die, after Jesus is not bodily with us. The second way the Spirit of Truth reveals the mystery of who Jesus is to us, is us his disciples, is by letting us lean in. Jesus takes some time to talk about the Spirit in this text. He says, to say that the Spirit of Truth is trustworthy. He will guide. He will not speak on his own authority. Whatever he hears, he will speak. It sounds a little strange to us that he says it at this many different ways. But it's actually how we can be more like Christ, or in this case, yield to the Holy Spirit, by leaning into the Spirit and wondering about that. In leaning into the Spirit, we also lean into who the Father is and who he's made us to be. My dad and Inupiaq pastor Joel Oyumik, who spent some time in Chicago studying at the seminary here, taught me about this a little bit. They used to swap Alaska stories in our backyard at the fire pit, and it helped model the art of leaning in to me. I'll share one of their stories. There was a couple who would go camping on the sandbar on the river and have dried salmon, and they would eat caribou hot dogs, and then they would settle in for the night in their tent on the sandbar, and they'd play Scrabble. I don't know if you guys knew this, but Scrabble's really big with the older ladies in Western Alaska. They have competition speed Scrabble. And so they'd play Scrabble, this husband and wife, older couple. And they had their dog with them, you know, just a little pup running around the sandbar. And they were really focused on their Scrabble game, and they're playing, and the dog would come in the tent, put its nose in the tent. They didn't want the dog to come in because it would dirty up the tent. If you guys have ever gone camping, you know what that's like. And so the wife had her back to the tent and just smacked the dog's nose. Go! So the dog would run around a little more. And then there was a nose showed up again a little while later. And this time, it wasn't a dog. It was a bear, a grizzly bear. And the man who was sitting opposite the tent flap couldn't even say it. He said, "Bear!" And the woman, still looking at the Scrabble game, said, "Where?" One way we can model being like Jesus and being like the Holy Spirit is listening. Jesus says the Holy Spirit is listening to the Father. I challenge you to listen this week sometime to a person for 5 minutes without responding. It's really hard. Without responding and just listening to what they're saying, even that you might repeat back what they're saying, to hear exactly what it is. What happened to the couple? Well, they lived to laugh about it. The third way the Spirit of Truth reveals the mystery of who Jesus is to his disciples is by letting us lean in. The third way the Spirit of Truth reveals the mystery of who Jesus is to us, his disciples, is through declaring it to us. He will declare things to come, it says, glorify Jesus and take what is Jesus's and declare it to us. Now that's a really profound mystery, because what Jesus is in John, he says, I am the resurrection, I am the life, I am the way. It talks about a lot of aspects of who Jesus is. So there's a lot there to be looking at, and for him to continue to declare to us our salvation. In 2011, it talks about things to come. In 2011, I was looking into biblical dream interpretation. Freud doesn't really make sense of Joseph's dreams very well. You wouldn't really get his interpretation if you looked at that. So I was looking into some of the ways they interpret dreams in the Bible, and I was discussing it with my sister-in-law, who had just had a dream in which Uniclete, where my brother's pastor now, had been destroyed. And at the same moment in time, she went in the room and my brother came out and they were cooking dinner. She saw on Facebook that there was this, and you can check this on Wikipedia if you want, there's like a polar storm that was hurricane force winds. She said that Uniclete was in danger of being destroyed, and this is the Holy Spirit had just told her a dream about her town being destroyed. It was one of the things she knew automatically in the dream. And there were icebergs. If you've ever seen pictures of Western Alaska, there's icebergs that stand up from the ocean in wintertime. And 80 mile an hour winds would have caused these waves, which are about usually 20-foot swells or something, turn into 40 or 50-foot swells to carry the icebergs over and destroy buildings and things. But we prayed. It wasn't just myself, but a few of my friends and I were praying. And I was, because I had just before this had been learning about how to pray against things that God had said will happen, to intercede, to do that. I interceded from a text in Job that said, you have set the boundary of the sea here. You have said it will go here and go no farther. And it was a period of like a week or 2 weeks where it might have still happened. The storm was around, but not as intense. And after a certain point, we heard that it was done. We went up a couple years ago and heard that what had actually happened was that all the temperature had gone up just a couple degrees and all of the ice had turned to mush, like slush, and so it had absorbed all of the impact of the waves. So the Lord spoke, the Holy Spirit spoke those things to us in community, and we were able to intercede and declare against it. He declares the things to us so that we might declare his purposes, somewhat like Abraham maybe, or other intercessors in the Bible. If he is listening, and we ought to listen, if the Spirit declares the truth, creation is literally groaning, longing for the sons and daughters of righteousness to manifest us, for us to pray in those ways. The third way the Spirit of truth reveals the mystery of Jesus, of who Jesus is to his disciples, it's through declaring it to us, who we are, but also what we will do. The fourth way the Spirit of truth reveals the mystery of who Jesus is to us, his disciples, is giving us wonder. Some of the things that we learn in Jesus and we've experienced in this congregation of people sacrificing for us have really made us humbled, especially in the past few years with the young family. But the generosity, which doesn't make sense in the world, leaves us in this place of praise, awe, and wonder. My brother, in a similar way, used to, when I'd go to his apartment in college, when I was in high school, I'd go from Von Steuben, a CPS high school, to his apartment, and he, not like it in my high school where we'd go to the cafeteria and people would kind of guard their trays, he said, you can have whatever you want in the fridge. We got five guys in the apartment. We're all Christians. Just help yourself to whatever is here. Treat this like home. that generosity and that type of sacrificial giving really left me to wonder. But it's Jesus is saying that the Spirit will listen to the Father and declare what it is that is Jesus's to us. We all believe in Jesus. We all have the Holy Spirit. He's declaring those things to us. He's giving us a fridge full of food of spiritual blessings. John was in church tradition, in the Catholic Church, they'll say that John was in Ephesus when he wrote the book of John. It was later, I believe, that they also say he was, he's a church father, so maybe I should be able to say this. They tried to martyr him, boiling him alive, and he didn't die. And then the tradition goes that he went then to Patmos, island of Patmos, and wrote the book of Revelation. Of course, there are different scholars who have differing opinions, but the idea that John was in Ephesus draws me to this idea of the Holy Spirit speaking this identity over us, especially in the first chapter of Ephesians, where it talks about how we are chosen, we are called, we are sealed in Jesus Christ. And those are all things revealed by the Holy Spirit. So if that's a practical place to start looking for what maybe it is that we know already, we might not know, of what the Holy Spirit is declaring to us that Jesus has and that he's giving to us, we can look on that and wonder. We have a fridge full of food. The fourth way the Spirit of truth reveals the mystery of who Jesus is to us, his disciples, is giving us wonder. I'd ask you to consider in this moment what your call is. Maybe you know, maybe you don't, maybe you are tired, maybe you are on fire with passion. He will guide you. He will help us listen. He will declare it to us that we might declare it. And he will instill in us childlike wonder along the way, that we may declare with the Holy Spirit who is like the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Ben, thank you so much for sharing.